Again, today we celebrate the Feast of the Pentecost, which is also the end of our Easter season, the final day of our Easter season, as well as the beginning of a new season for us in the year. And I want you to imagine for a moment something like being there for Pentecost. Imagine being in this place. You begin to hear a rushing sound. And having lived enough in Merced, you recognize that sound of the wind, that wind that you don't often hear in other places, how strong it can be ripping through the trees. But it gets louder and louder, so loud that you start to look back to see if maybe the doors were blown open because it's just too loud in here. And that ripping sound of the wind keeps building. And then you begin to see lights alongside it, flashes of lights or glows. And as the sound settles down, you see sort of a glowing, fiery look on the face of each and every person around you. When I say it's on the face of each person, I don't mean that it's just a rosy glow. I mean something that's genuinely supernatural. You see a flame-like light on each and every person here gathered today. And you know that this is from God. In part because Jesus told you to expect it. He said, wait until you are empowered on high. Wait until you experience the Holy Spirit. And you know from your background, from the scriptures you've studied before, that fire and wind are often symbols of God, symbols of the presence of God. So even though this experience is unique, and even though this experience is unexpected in what happened, you know that somehow God is present here, doing a unique thing. And as you experience this presence of God in a new and unique way, it begins to lead you to worship God. And as you worship God, his name is also proclaimed beyond the walls of our church. And so in that day when they experienced the Pentecost, when they experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit, as they worshiped God, he miraculously worked in them so that each and every person gathered began to worship him in a language they did not know. And as they did that, the people of the community heard them and were amazed because the community knew lots of languages these people didn't know. And they began to hear God praised in all of these different languages. It would be as if we experienced God in this miraculous way, and then we went out into Bob Hart Square and we began praising God. And as we did, people from all around town began to hear us and say, wow, they're worshiping in Spanish and Portuguese and Basque, and also people from Laos and people from who are Hmong began to hear us in their own languages. And they heard us in Korean, and they heard us in Japanese, and they heard us in half a dozen different dialects of Chinese, and they heard us in the languages of India and the languages of Thailand and the languages of all of the different places that we have people in town from. And they said, how could this little church be worshiping in 60 or 70 different languages? How could each person in this church be fluent in another language? And that miraculous event communicated to them something about the love as well as the power of God. That God wanted them to hear the message. That he wanted to reveal himself to them. So that the worship of this community and the mission of the community were one thing through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was not like they said, let's forget about worshiping God because we just need to reach people. Let's go out and we're going to do stuff for other people to try to bring them to Jesus. And we can't be selfish and focus on our own worship. But it also wasn't, we're going to focus on our own worship and we're going to hide away in the church. And we're just going to make this a beautiful place of worship. And it's going to have nothing to do with the people out there. Rather, the very act of their worship, the act of praising God, is what spilled out and drew people in. It's an incredible thing. That when the Spirit showed up, their very act of praising God for the mighty things he has done is also the thing that drew people to God. Let's step back and talk a little bit of context. Because as we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's all sorts of confusion. I've had people who have gone to church for decades ask me, so is the Holy Spirit really God? Or ask me, did the Holy Spirit get created one day? Or when did the Holy Spirit start? Those are important questions that show a misunderstanding of who God is. The mystery of the Trinity, I say this is mystery in the sense that the Trinity really is beyond our understanding. And yet what we know is that there is one God, and yet that God is and always has been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say three persons, one God. So the mystery is there is, I don't know how to reconcile those two things. How can he be one God and three persons? There's something there that goes beyond our understanding. But there has always and always and always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally in community with each other, and also one God at the same time. Which means that at the very moment of creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were acting together to create the entire world. And it means that all throughout the Old Testament, as we study the history of God and his people, all throughout that time, the Holy Spirit is also working and showing up. If you read the Old Testament, you won't always see the phrase Holy Spirit, but you will see the Spirit of God working all throughout the Old Testament. We saw one example of that in our psalm for today. So even before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was there and active. But what happened at Pentecost were two different things. This is again where it gets a little confusing, because two things happened at once. One, the Holy Spirit came to every Christian for the first time. Before that, the Holy Spirit would fill and empower one person for a mission, a task, and another person over here for a mission and a task. We see this in the life of David, for example, when he says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," in that psalm. What he's saying there is that God had empowered David to be king and to be the leader both of the nation and, in some ways, the worship leader of the nation. And so he'd been specially empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that was unique to David. And in other places in the Old Testament, you see prophets being touched by the Spirit of God so that they can speak the very words of God in that moment. But it were special things that were happening to special people. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the entire people of God, so that all of us receive the Holy Spirit. That's why I wanted you to imagine the moment here, thinking about the people around you. Because the idea is that the Holy Spirit, even though we don't see tongues of fire or hear the rushing wind necessarily, the reality is that the Holy Spirit has come to be with, permanently with, each and every one of you if you are in Christ. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit is with you always and forever. Pentecost was the start of that. It inaugurated, it began a reality that will last always. The Holy Spirit is your promise of salvation. But it's a promise not of something future that you just hear about and someday you're going to get, but you don't get yet. It's the promise like a deed to the house. You get to live in the house now, and the promise, the deed, says this actually belongs to you and nobody can come and take it away. But you're already getting to experience the house. And in one sense, the house is a work in progress, right? It's being renovated. It's being expanded. The yard is being planted right now. It's a work in progress in the sense that we don't experience all of God now. We don't see all of God now. We don't experience all of his kingdom now. But we already have met God and have formed a relationship with him that will last forever. You'll see more of him. You'll grow in your relationship with him. You will experience so much more than you do now, But that's not a future relationship that's going to start after you die. That's a relationship that has already begun, and you are already living your life with the Holy Spirit, whether you're aware of it or not. And that is a relationship that will continue forever. The promise is that it will never end, and the promise is that you will see and experience more and more of it. But already the Holy Spirit is with you. And all sorts of things come with that. A mission. Notice in several of our readings that idea of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered for the mission of God. Empowered so that you can share about the mighty works of God. Empowered so that you can serve other people. The Holy Spirit and his gifts are not just for us to individually enjoy. Rather, it is for us as the community of God to do the mission of God. That's why in our Corinthians passage today, it talks so much about the variety of gifts and the idea that the variety of gifts are given to the people of God. So the focus is not on who has which gift and figuring out what your gift is so that you can know how you're unique and special. It's not about discovering a talent. It's not like saying, I wonder if I'm gifted at music, or if I'm gifted at writing, or if I'm gifted at math, or if I'm gifted at working with my hands. It's not figuring out who you are and what your gifts are. The focus is on the needs of the community of God to do the mission of God, and how God is going to work through each and every one of us to do his mission. That might mean that he has uniquely brought you to St. Luke's because you have a set of gifts that we need. It might mean that you can do things that no one else can do, and that we will need you to use your gifts in this community if we are to do what we're called to do. It also might mean that there are needs here in this church that no one is filling, and that God will call you to do those particular roles, to meet those particular needs, even if you're not particularly gifted in that. Many of the times when God has called me to different roles, including roles of leadership, it was not because I was the most gifted person or because I had been prepared in some unique way to serve. Often it was because nobody else was stepping up. Here's a need and no one else is filling it. And I might not be the best person to do this, but I'm the one who's here and willing to do it. And God has called me to greater and greater responsibility through the course of my life. Often, simply because there was a need that nobody else was meeting. And I remember times when people even said to me, well, I don't know if you're the best fit for that. And I responded and said, I would be happy not to do it if somebody else is willing to do it. But nobody else would. That's true not only about leadership, that's true about all sorts of things. There are all sorts of roles in our community as a church and the community around our church that need to be filled, that God, the Holy Spirit, may empower you to do. Not because it's your favorite thing to do, not because it's what you've always dreamed of doing, not because it's the thing that feels like you'll enjoy it the most necessarily, not because it fits your talents and skills and gifts, but simply because it's there and God has shown the opportunity to you and no one else is doing it. And you might look around and ask around, who's willing? Who's willing to serve in this way? Is anybody else willing to do this? But the need is just left out there and someone's got to do it. And so you step in and you begin serving. And it might be for a season, it might be for a couple years, it might be for the rest of your life. It might be that somebody comes and joins you in that service and then you can let go of it and go do something else. But often there are needs that nobody fills. And what's sad, and ironically sad, is often we'll sit in church and say, I want to be involved, but I've got nothing to do. I want to be known. I want to be part of the community. I want to build relationships. I want to know that I have something to contribute, but there's no place for me. There's no fit for me. And meanwhile, I'll be up here and I'll be talking to the vestry and we'll say, there's so many needs. How do we get people to serve? And there are needs that we don't even know about. But if every one of us can see ourselves as someone who's called by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do something to worship and serve Him, then suddenly this creative force is unleashed that is truly Spirit-empowered. Something incredible happens when we say, when we understand that each and every one of us is called to love and serve God in the power of God, that there's something for all of us to do. And all of us should be looking for the opportunities. And if you have a particular gifting of whatever kind, look for a place to use that. But also just look for what needs to be done. We need people singing in the choir. We need people helping out ushering. We need people helping out with our coffee hour. We need people helping out on Altar Guild. We also need people from our church to go and help with Love Inc. and the rescue mission. We need people to do new things in our town. There are so many opportunities to serve. So many different ways we could care. Where Juliet telling me yesterday, we were flipping through the weekly paper, and she saw the listing for people who are teaching literacy, asking for volunteers to help with literacy in the town. And she said, I just wish that I worked in town. She works in Madera, so she commutes 45 minutes each day back and forth. I wish I lived in town so I could volunteer at that. I wish I could serve in that way. There are so many opportunities. I know that we have people who volunteer at the library, who volunteer in all different groups in town. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Maybe He's calling you to do several things. If you feel as if you have nothing to offer, that is a lie from the devil. You have been given and will be given opportunities and gifts to serve the body of Christ and to serve God. Every single one of us. Some might be unique to you, and some might be opportunities that anyone can do. We just need somebody to jump in and do it. But the Holy Spirit empowers for service. And again, the worship and the service go together. On the day of Pentecost, it's as they're praising Him that people are also led to meet God. And how wonderful that would be if your background, if the Jewish background, was that God came for the Jewish people, and there's all these hints throughout the Old Testament saying, no, this is going to be for the good of all people. God's going to use His chosen people to reach everyone. But how that was going to happen was a little bit of a mystery. And they're worshiping in their one language that all of the visitors to town just don't even understand. And there's others who are Jewish people themselves, Jewish pilgrims that have come to Jerusalem for a big festival. But they're used to speaking another language every day. They know Aramaic, which was sort of the street version of Hebrew, the dialect that's similar enough to Hebrew, but it's what they normally spoke day to day. They know enough of that to understand and to worship in, but they're not used to that language. That's a second language to them. That's a school language to them. They spoke in Greek or Latin or some other language. And suddenly God is speaking to them through people in their own language, the very language of their heart, the language that they talk to their friends and family in. They're suddenly hearing, and the non-Jewish people who didn't know that the God of the Jews was the God of the entire world are suddenly hearing the words and the invitation of God in their own language, being told that God is open with an invitation to join his kingdom. He's open to everyone. Come and join. Come and join. When we get that vision of the generosity of God and his desire to invite everyone into his family, his community, the beauty of that should impress us. So that worship and service become one thing. When we truly experience God, we also come to share the heart of God. You can't love God and experience his love and not be transformed. So you can't walk out of here on a Sunday morning having truly experienced God and then walk by people that don't know him and say, "I don't care. Whatever. That was just for us." To do that, you have to not think about and experience who God is. And at the same time, the other side of that is, if you want to experience God more, if you want to love him more, and if you want to feel his love more, serve him. Because it's also in the midst of serving him that our worship comes alive. It's meant to be a whole life. As you serve him, we learn to worship him more and we experience more of his worship. Well, that's the other piece of the coming of the Holy Spirit. I said this is a little complicated, and it is. Because he comes once, for all, forever. He comes, and now all Christians, anyone who is in Christ, is sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with you forever. Paul talks about this in terms of the fullness of the Spirit, and he reminds us to be always full of the Spirit, which I think in his way of saying it means always be aware that the Holy Spirit is with you, and so live that you experience the fullness of the Spirit who is always with you. But Luke uses a little different language. Luke, the author of Acts that we read today, where he talks about these different fillings of the Spirit. So even though the Holy Spirit came to all of us and is always with us, something like what I described with David is also alive and well today. Meaning that the Holy Spirit came on David and empowered him for worship and for a particular mission. And he came on different prophets at different times. Well, in something like that way, we can experience times in which the Holy Spirit comes to us in a special way, empowers us, and lets us feel him in a special way. So he is always with us. And also, there are special experiences and empowerings of the Holy Spirit. You might have felt that one day in church. Maybe you were singing a hymn, and just suddenly you were so moved that it felt like God was in the room in a way that it didn't feel like that a moment before. Or maybe you came up to take communion and it wasn't a big flashy thing, but you just felt so clearly that God was with you. And it went beyond just an awareness of what was true. You really felt the presence of God with you. You received that piece of bread. And as you did, you knew that his presence was there as you received him. Maybe you've had times where the Holy Spirit has guided you in a way that went beyond what was just natural. I had an experience once, and it wasn't a very dramatic one in terms of things other people could see. But on a Saturday night, I'd been praying, and I was having a really hard time. This was maybe a decade ago. I was having a really difficult time, and I was just struggling with a lot of things in my life. And I remember pouring out my heart to God and saying, "God, do you care about these things? Do you care about these things I'm struggling with? Are you even listening?" And I didn't feel like I had any answer or any response, and it was a really hard Saturday night. Next day I went to church, and I'd gone to a service on Sunday night, and there was a time of prayer and worship after the service was mostly over. And so I was just kind of praying quietly on my knees in the church. And somebody, and I don't even know who, came up and put their hand on my shoulder and started praying for me out loud. Lord, be with Ryan, comfort him. And he just started praying different things for me. Well, in the course of him praying, he prayed for about 5 minutes for me. He said back in his prayer everything I had said the night before in detail. And as far as he could tell, I think, again, I don't know who this even was. It wasn't like some big surprise where he was saying like funny key words or anything. It was just in the course of praying for me for about 5 minutes. It became so clear to me that God had heard everything I said, and he was simply telling me, Ryan, I hear you. Ryan, I care about these things that you care about. I care about these things you're talking to me about. But it was in enough detail that it was clearly supernatural. It wasn't a coincidence, because there were probably a dozen different things I'd said the night before that this person repeated back to me the content of. It was so clear that God was working through him to bring comfort and grace to me. There have been other times where I've prayed for people, and I'm just praying for them in general, but I start mentioning a couple things, and it just fits with their needs so fully. I don't have any particular gifting in that area. That's not a talent of mine. It's that as we love and serve each other, God works through us, sometimes in miraculous ways. And we've talked about this before, but I've known people who have been truly miraculously healed from things. Not just, I had a flu and it went away suddenly, that's great. But I know a man who was in a diving accident, who was told he would be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life, who was prayed for, and over the course of a couple months, his condition got better and better and better until he was entirely healed. Entirely healed. Those kind of miracles really do happen. We don't see them all the time. We should never go into a situation demanding them. We shouldn't look at our own health problems and say, God is definitely going to heal me, and if he doesn't, I'm going to be mad. Because all of these are foretastes, in a sense, of the kingdom of God. Meaning someday, in the new heavens and the new earth, we will all be completely healed. And we will all see God in a way that takes up all of our mind and heart, that so fills us, that so transforms us, that it's beyond what we can even experience now. Someday we'll all experience that. And right now we get pieces of that, glimpses of that. We shouldn't expect them all the time, but why not ask for them? And why not ask for them for the benefit of others? Almost everyone here has suffered through some sort of chronic illness or chronic pain or pains and illnesses that come with aging. And we all know those aren't all going to go away. Aging means that even if they did, there's something else to struggle with coming along later. But nevertheless, why not pray for healing? And why not pray for the healing of our brothers and sisters around us? Because miracles do happen. Not every time, but they do. That's why we have a prayer list where people can share their prayer requests and say, this dear person is struggling with cancer, or that dear person has a surgery coming up. And we pray because the Holy Spirit does do miraculous things. And our calling is to go out and to share Jesus Christ with the people we meet. Why not ask the Holy Spirit to go with us in that? And as we do that, serving him, sometimes he will do genuinely miraculous things. I've run into people on the street who were looking to learn about God and just happened to run into me. Where they were asking God to tell them about himself, to connect them to a church. And I didn't have to do anything special. It didn't have to be any special gifting or anything like that. It was just that the Holy Spirit was arranging something for them. You could do that. You could just start talking to a stranger. Scary to me too, but you could do that. And the Holy Spirit could work through you. And there are so many other gifts. Gifts I could go on and on again, I won't. But just look through 1 Corinthians. And look at the way it starts, and it talks about gifts and services and activities. And then it gives a bunch of examples, but those examples aren't exhaustive. The Holy Spirit is empowering us in all kinds of ways, natural and supernatural seeming. And there's no distinction here in 1 Corinthians about that. It doesn't matter to God if you're giving miraculous prophetic words revealing information no one could hear, or if you're setting up tables and chairs. God will empower you to do what needs to be done. Maybe your calling is going to be to give words of peace and encouragement today, to bless people here at the coffee hour, to sing in our choir, to serve in any of the many ways you can. But the idea I want to leave you with is that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in you and in your brothers and sisters in Christ. It means you're not alone. It means you don't have to say, well, I can't do anything because I'm not one of the special people. God is with you. He's with you for intimacy with him. He's with you to help you worship him. He's with you to empower you. He's with you now. And he is open to being invited more into your life, to fill and empower and bless you even more, to love and serve him. So today on Pentecost, whether it's now, whether it's as we're getting ready for communion, whether it's when you get home, invite him. Invite him to call you. Invite him to empower you, to be closer to him and to serve him. Invite him to show you places you could serve in the church or outside of it. Invite him to go with you wherever you're called to go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.